This is Phyllis Pricer. How are you? It's a wonderful day today. It's just before Christmas. I hope you all are taking time out to listen to the show or sit and wrap presents while you're listening and be ready to be entertained. I have a wonderful guest for you today, and that is Mary Ellen, our angel scribe. Mary Ellen is a lovely author, or authoress, I should say. She's written the best-selling books called Expect Miracles and A Christmas Filled with Miracles. She also has a weekly letter of angels and miracles called at the website www.angelscribe.com. She's been doing this work, I think, 10 years now, Mary Ellen?
Yes, 10 years. Oh. And hello to all the people listening. How exciting they're joining us this evening.
Oh, how wonderful. At any rate, we decided to go with Mary Ellen and her angel news because, quite frankly, she writes about miracles. She's gathered stories from people all over the world. She has her own stories to tell. And as you know, this can be a call-in show, so if anyone has their Christmas miracle stories to share, we would love to hear them. But let us talk first, and then later on in the show, we invite you to call in and share with us your wonderful stories. I guess you started this as an act of kindness at one time, just to uplift people and to share with the joys that you have. Am I right, Mary Ellen?
That's exactly right, Phyllis. And how long have you been reading the newsletter?
Oh, golly, I guess I got a couple years now.
Yeah,
years now.
What always amazes me. I have attorneys, I have judges, I have people who are homeless who go to the library and read it to be uplifted. I have people that are so famous, I can't even tell you their names, who write me. And it's just amazing. People around the world want to hear good news. And the way it evolved was my mother gave our family computer one Christmas, almost 10 years ago, and it was for my daughter who was going to go to college. Well, I got on there, and I just started going into AOL on the Internet, to the chat rooms. Well, they weren't talking very intelligently in the chat rooms, and it seemed to be some very crude people dominating the room, and I'd look up and it said 23 people were in the room, and I go, but where are all the angel people? And so I actually write angel writings from my heart when I get very quiet. I hear poetic words, and I write those, and as I would type them up, people would go, the whole energy in the room would shift, Phyllis.
Yes,
and I go, yes, that's power. When people are being negative and change to be positive, I felt that was powerful. And then they would go, how do I get that information? I said, oh, let me just email it to you, like no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the end of 3 weeks, I had 1,000 people on my mail list.
Good Lord.
And I got an email from the musician Prince's webmaster. They had a charity website.
Uh-huh.
And they said, they didn't tell me who they were, but they said, may we post your inspiration on our webpage? I'm like, sure, I guess that's how this internet works, go ahead.
Then
a psychic friend is here, and she says, I think that's going to be really good for you, not knowing who they were. And a week later, I got another email saying, may we post on our charity website? And I said, well, I guess that's how the internet works, go ahead. Natira once again goes, I think that's going to be really good. Well, that was New Line Cinema's charity website.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I was on there for 3 years and received more connections. I had 5,000 people just within a few months of not knowing what I was doing, but being God-led. See, Phyllis, miracles happen when you open your heart. When you wake up in the morning, most people are giving a grocery list. Oh, God, I need this. I need that. I need this. Can you do this for this person and that for this person? And they're not really saying, hey, wait a minute. You know that new thing, what would Jesus do today? Well,
oh,
I said, what would you do today?
Exactly.
When you wake up in the morning and you say, to whoever you pray to, God, Goddess, all that is, and you say, let me be a vehicle in your life today. What would it look like? I plan to show up. And it doesn't matter if a stray kitten comes to your door. Let it in. It's hungry.
Absolutely.
I knew somebody who didn't, though, and I thought, God
really?
Sent you a cat, and it's starving on your porch, and you think you're so spiritual. Let it in. Feed it, you know?
Right.
And so that's how it evolved. And miracles happen to me all the time. I just thought they were coincidences. And as people started sending me their miracles, I would share more of mine. And it just grew and blossomed. And a year later, somebody sent my newsletter to Canary, who wrote the Random Act of Kindness series of books.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay.
Canary Press. And they watched my newsletter and read it for 5 months.
Isn't that wonderful?
You think publishers would be busy enough.
Right.
But I'm still, the editor is still reading my newsletters and says she wouldn't miss one. She loves them.
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, and they asked to do my first book, Expect Miracles, and then a year later asked for Christmas Filled with Miracles. Now 37,000 have been purchased and
oh,
Expect
wonderful.
Miracles in four languages. And I still say I'm just a housewife plunking away, you know, usually in my pajamas, which is the computer uniform for most of us.
You're getting a little personal there.
Yeah, but it's the truth.
I notice you've also been on radio station, the Lime, L-I-M-E, Sirius Radio.
Yes.
Well, you did One Miracle segments on their, 1 minute segments on their radio.
Yes, they've asked me to produce 1 minute miracle segments where I would take a long miracle, concise it down to
mm-hmm.
a minute
mm-hmm.
for inspiration. We're having a little bit of problems, in the local radio station where I record it.
Really?
It's got a little high pitched whine. We don't know how to get rid of it. So I'm looking for another place to record them. I've got them all set ready to go, but it's such an honor to be asked.
Are you still doing those?
I need to find another place.
Radio.
I've taped them three different times.
Well, you know something? My feeling is that another place is going to be opened up to you for you to record, and it's going to take care of that whine, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. But we don't want to have whining miracles, do we?
No, not unless you're going to throw in cheese, and I know.
That's right. Hey, I'd love to tell you the little miracle that happened to me recently.
Please.
You read the newsletters, and I know you know that I'm the miracle lady.
I know, darling. I love your newsletter. It's just so uplifting, and I have so much fun with it, and I share it with others.
Oh, thank you. And that's why I believe there's 50,000 readers, because I have, you know, so many people I mail it to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I have to just say, what's really funny is I get kind of whiny. Oh, you have this new thing where I can see how many opened. You can't see who opened, just how many were opened.
Right.
And I have like 112% of my newsletters are read, 123%. And then when one is read 86%, I feel like hitting the side of my computer going, what's wrong? Why haven't the rest read? And most people who send a newsletter would be happy if 27% of the people own their read.
Listen, I know what you mean. One reaches. But tell me, what is the latest miracle, darling?
It's so beautiful. It's called Coming Home for Christmas. And I went up. It's a five-hour drive to Tacoma to pick my mother up, who's coming down from Canada for
mm-hmm.
the holiday season. Now, my four silver Persians love car rides, so I was going to take them all. And the night before, my psychic friend, Atira, phones and says, Mary, I'm getting this nudgy feeling. Don't take all four cats. And I felt so disappointed. I didn't know which two to leave at home.
Right.
So I finally settled on two and took them up to Tacoma. The day before my mom arrived, well, I stayed at a friend's house called Sid, and Sid and I went out Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And just as we were going by the Humane Society, I said, I want to help my friend Atira. Her cat was, disappeared one night. She let it out.
Oh.
She loved this cat so much. You know how some of us are with our kitties.
Oh, absolutely. Pets, you know, please, I have dogs, I know.
Mm, yeah, and she doesn't have children, so her kitties are baby. And it did not come back, so she's devastated, and you don't have that closure. And she's been hurting and grieving deeply. And I thought, I would just love for a gift to take her pain away. So I said, let's just pop into the Humane Society, you know, famous last words.
Right, right.
Well, I have to mention that Atira had, it was a purebred gray Persian she had.
Ooh.
And about 3 weeks ago, I dreamt she was going to get a silver Persian. She goes, oh, no, Mary Ellen, those are the kind of cats you like. I really like the gray ones.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to have a silver. And so much for her psychic ability. and so... we popped in the Humane Society, and oh, there's just dozens of scared cats and kittens. I'm walking down the aisle, and I saw the back of one cat in a cage, and I ran to it. I knew what it was. It was a silver Persian. And she had been walking the aisles of her Humane Society in Seattle for months, every 2 days, looking for a cat, and never saw one purebred at all.
Oh, wow.
Well, I looked in at this cat, and it was like looking at going to a foreign country on vacation and finding the princess of your country in a dungeon.
Exactly.
And so I just said, I have to rescue it. And I was wearing it my hat. It's a Santa Claus hat that says angel on it. My cats are petrified of it. So I forget I have it on. And I go in and I say, can I please, you know, touch that kitty? And they hand it to me. And the minute I touch him, he purrs. And he's not afraid of the hat. It's like he knew that the spirit of Christmas was coming to his rescue.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 4 o'clock on the second day of, he was only allowed 3 days, and this was 4 o'clock on the second day.
Oh.
I do not live in the, I don't live in the state, I don't live in the city. Why did we go back right then.
Right.
And he was matted from head to toe.
Oh, poor
and
baby.
So he's not really adoptable when you see all the other pets. So anyways, when I said, I want this cat, the lady just literally went, because she just knew his chances weren't great, and he was such a sweet animal. Everybody wants a kitten, but you
right.
know, it's the princes and the princesses like
right.
this.
Right.
Anyway, so I took him home and bathed him,
mm-hmm.
and thank God I only had two of my silvers with me, because I had to sleep that night with three adult Persian cats. And do you know what?
What?
They all had such good manners.
Oh.
Nobody hissed, nobody hit, nobody fought.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so Atira came the next day and immediately fell in love with the cat. I named him Mr., because every time you touch him, he purrs, Mr. Perfect.
Oh.
So it saved his life.
And she has a new kitty cat.
It healed her heart.
Oh, yes.
And he got to go home for Christmas.
Oh, how wonderful. That's a beautiful story.
You know, all miracles aren't just hanging off a cliff, Phyllis, waiting for a helicopter
oh,
to come. They're
absolutely.
Just what happens in an everyday life.
Oh, no. I know that. I've had a few miracles of my own. Having my own radio show.
Congratulations.
Is one of them. It is just through, you know, being kind to someone and, you know, that I was led to Don. And from there, you know, we talked a couple of times and I'm on the show. Now, it's amazing.
It is.
The miracles that happen. I mean, the thought that I'd have a radio show 3 months ago didn't exist.
And you've got a lovely voice for it.
Well, thank you.
Deepak Chopra says,
yes.
Cinco Destiny. You, and Marianne Williamson says, just carry your bucket of white paint. In other words, show up, do what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
You know, some people will criticize you, but hey, they criticized
everybody.
Gandhi, you know.
They criticized Christ as well, Gandhi.
That's right.
They criticized Buddha when he was running around on 2 feet, you know.
That's right. What kind of nut was he anyway, hey?
Absolutely. Giving up all that wealth and going in. Yes, I know.
Yeah. So I want to mention A Christmas Filled with Miracles is a book people can read any time of year.
Oh, absolutely.
And
your books are, that's what I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
These books can be bought at, I guess, any bookstore, can't they?
Yeah, pretty much. I love it when people go to the small bookstores and support the independent people.
Oh yeah, I like to do that. But they can be ordered through any bookstore, I'm sure.
And the other thing,
yes.
people can go to the website Angelscribe, scribe.com, and
mm-hmm.
sign up for the free newsletter. I've got pictures of Mr. Perfect.
I see that.
there's a picture of him sleeping on the couch. He was so exhausted, he had like 2,000 fleas.
Oh, poor baby.
And we held him under the water in the tap, and he just let us. He was like, go for it. I'm ready for this.
Wow.
And he let us. And this was a stray adult male who just kind of went limp in our arms and let us groom him, and he didn't try to bite or scratch.
My feeling is that he had had a loving owner before and got lost.
Mm.
That may have been what happened, because he certainly sounds like he was raised with good manners.
He was. He's very polite. And also, Atira picked up on that and said he'd been lost for quite a while. And
mm-hmm.
all he kept saying to her was, I'm safe. I'm safe.
Yes. 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 And he is the replacement for her other, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad her heart is made warm again.
And there's no gift greater than love. And all of us in our own way can touch someone else. Also, I just want to mention,
go ahead.
I phoned her prior to adopting him. Nobody should give another person the responsibility of 18 years of a pet without consulting them first.
Oh, absolutely.
And I said to her, if you don't want this cat, hey, I'm glad to keep him, you know. No problem.
Did you phone your husband with that?
My husband was open to him, too, because silvers are so beautiful. And people can see pictures of my silver Persians. They're not for sale. They're just for loving on the website.
I know. I have 3 dogs myself, and I wouldn't give them up for all the love and money in the world.
Sorry. Hey, I want to mention one of the stories in the Christmas Filled with Miracles.
Please. I was going to ask you to tell us some of these wonderful stories that you have.
Well, what they are is people send me emails. We never knew they were going to be in the books, because that was a miracle how they came about.
Right.
But they're just short little emails. So they're nice to read if somebody's sick or you're on an airplane
mm-hmm.
or first thing in the morning, just to inspire you. But briefly,
absolutely.
One of them was about a woman who had 2 dogs. She lived on a farm. She asked her daughter to feed the dogs,
mm-hmm.
and she said she already did, but the mother got that nudgy feeling that something wasn't right, so she went out to check on the dogs, and she saw one of the food bowls was still outside, so she brought it into the barn, and she goes, what is that smell? And she kept sniffing around until she found that when the garage door had closed, where the barn door closed, it had pinched the wire to the Christmas lights and started a fire.
Oh, my.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? And so it saved them from disaster.
Yes, well, that's what your angels are there for. There have been a number of miracles in my life, too. May I share one with you?
Love to hear it.
Okay. Back in 1973, I just decided on the first day, I can tell you what it was. It was the first day of spring in March of 73, decided to take a drive in the country. I didn't have much money then. And so, you know, I was even, you know, close with gas. But I took my two children, for a drive in the country just to get away. Because it was a nice spring day, and I saw in the sky the most beautiful clouds, and they had rainbows around them. Mm. I mean, the clouds themselves, and I was just thinking how beautiful it was. And on the way back, unfortunately, I got into an accident. I tried to pass someone, and he kept speeding up, and I'd slow down and go behind, and then he'd slow down, and then I'd try and pull him around and go up. Well, we played this game, if you will, and people were piling up behind me and honking horns, and there must have been 10 or 15 cars behind me. So finally I said, well, I'm going to pass him even if he speeds up. So I went ahead, and he, at a narrow bridge, he pulled over the line, almost hitting me. And pulling over, I hit the side of the road, spun on the gravel. My car made a sharp 45-degree right-hand turn and sailed off the country road. And just as it started to go, I saw an angel, literally saw an angel come in on the driver's side of the car and lift up the front of the car.
Wow.
And we were now airborne, and that car was then moved parallel to the road. Now, a car traveling at 45 degrees at a right angle is not going to land parallel to any road, but it did. It seemed to turn itself in midair, landed down, and then jumped the fence in a parallel jump.
Oh.
So it was inside a field, and it stopped. There was no careening or anything else. I mean, and
it was almost like you were put down gently.
Yes. Well, it bent the A-frame.
Yeah. You guys weren't bent.
But the damage was underneath. There was no crumpled fender, nothing.
Amazing.
It was just picked up and put down, and then just, like, picked up and put down on the other side of the fence. It was really amazing. The police couldn't understand how it happened. The two children in the back, I told them to get on the floor. At that time, we didn't have seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them to get on the floor and just huddle, you know. And they did. I think there was one of them got a bump, bruise, and the other bit her tongue. But that was it. And it was a darn miracle that none of us had been hurt badly. And that was the first time that I really was aware of seeing an angel in a crisis.
Well, I believe you, because the same thing happened to my daughter and me. She
really?
Can see angels. She's got the gift. You know, me, I just believe in them in my heart, and I'm
yes.
like, la, 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 going along, just following that pull of my heart, you know.
Right.
Some people call it a intuition, sometimes gut. I just call it, I just follow my heart.
That's good.
And we came onto a road up in Washington State, and it was pouring rain. And this car hadn't seen us, and it decided to jump across the four lanes of traffic. She looked to the right. She didn't look to the left, where we were doing 35 miles an hour towards her.
Mm-hmm.
We were only like 15 feet from her when she decided to jump out.
Ooh.
And all I could see was her turquoise car in front of us.
Right.
And when she decided to look left, her great big bugged eyes going, uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
And right at that instant, when I took wheel and I jerked it, because I thought it'd probably be better to go into her sideways instead of
head on.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
instead of T-bone air. The same thing happened to us. We were literally shoved parallel to the lane we were in and zipped in front of her. Now, I don't know how we went in front of her when my car was looking at her and her driver's spot. I was even to that.
Wow.
And after we got past her, my daughter goes, Mommy, what color was that car? How could she miss it? I said, it was turquoise. And she says, well, she didn't see that. What she saw was a huge white angel to the right of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And when I jerked my steering wheel, mm-hmm. the angel shoved our car so that we literally went in front of it, which was impossible. And all I could think about is the people behind us.
I must have
been thinking, yeah, facing illusions or something.
Did you see that, Mom? Well, I sure did, Pa.
So I hope people listening today, our stories help them to believe, because
absolutely
miracles. And you know yourself, you've had more than one miracle in your life.
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. I've had amazing luck. I've had amazing interventions from time to time. I remember there's a story about my daughter. when she went to the ARE camp, that's the Association of Research and Enlightenment camp, Edgar Cayce, affiliated with the Edgar Cayce Foundation.
In Virginia?
Down in Virginia, mm-hmm. And I sent her, and I remember, you know, it's like... It was like I was tied to her more than if she were there right beside me. And I remember being concerned about her. And I was at the Virginia Beach at a conference, and part of me was with her. But what happened later is she said they went to this cliff where they go hiking, and it's kind of a sheer drop, maybe 100 feet into treetops. And she said she walked with her group to the end. She walked to the edge by herself. She turned around, and there was a rattlesnake coiled behind her. Well, she said she was so startled, she literally stepped back in space.
Interesting.
And dropped. And she said she felt a hand shove her in the middle of her back against the face of the cliff.
Wow.
And she just got her feet on a little bit of landing there and was able to hold on and cry for help. She said, but otherwise, she would have tumbled all the way down into the treetops and could have been severely injured, if not killed.
I believe you, because in Expect Miracles, there's a story like that of a man who moved into an apartment and his wife went out to get something. He had like a 2-year-old
mm-hmm.
or maybe 16 months, and he was told to watch the child, and he ended up watching TV instead.
Oy.
Yeah, and then he goes, well, where's the baby? And he starts looking around, and in horror, he looks outside, and the baby had climbed out the window, and there was like a little roof out there,
mm-hmm.
and he just... You know, time stopped for him, and he called the baby to him, like, gently, not
mm-hmm.
to startle the baby, and inside he's just screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls the baby, and it crawls over to him, and he pulls it in, and he just, you know, took a deep breath. But the miracle was, the next day, because it was a new apartment, he went outside, and he looked. And when he looked out, the baby was about 6 feet from the window,
mm-hmm.
but...
There was...
What? There's nothing there.
No roof.
Yeah. It was like the child had been suspended.
And
it wasn't him out of proportion. He
exactly.
knew that
exactly.
child had been held.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I also want to mention about, I did it in a newsletter recently.
Uh-huh.
It's posted to the website called Christmas Lights for Joy.
Okay.
This baby was born, and it was not very healthy, not expected to live. But the mother said, I want to take it home. And she took it home, and she loved that baby Joey for about a year and a half. And then the following November 17th, she got this strong intuition to put up a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did, and 3 days later, their baby passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the same day, a strand of lights on the Christmas tree went out. They're just too devastated to even worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they held the funeral, and they learned about CompassionateFriends.org,
mm-hmm.
where people could go once a year all around the world. They do a prayer for children. So if anybody's listening, it's CompassionateFriends.org.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for giving
And what
out.
Happened was she and her husband lit their candles. They said the prayers of the children who they knew who had passed that year. And the minute they were done, and this was now into December. It was
right.
around December 13th. The lights on the Christmas tree came back on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know yourself how spirit often uses electric.
Yes. It gets our attention. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
there was somebody
lovely.
I met the other day. I was going to a garage sale. It was so funny. And I heard them talking. Grandpa had just died. That's why there was the garage sale. And they were watching TV. And her husband said, quit changing the channels. And she said, honest to gosh, she said, first the TV went off, and then it went, change channel, change channel, change channel. And she says to him, look, hon, and she points over to the coffee table where the clicker is sitting all by itself untouched. And they're like, whoa.
I think Grandpa was there, actually.
And so Grandpa was trying to get their attention
That's
and let them know.
Oh, yes. You know, people do use that. I've known others who've passed on, who manifest. I had a friend of mine. In fact, he's still a friend. He had been engaged, and his fiancée died in her late 20s. They were planning on getting married, and she'd had juvenile diabetes, and she was very ill. And she had always loved white birds. And 3 days after her funeral, he had come back to the gravesite, and he was standing there, a white feather just slowly floated down in front of him.
Beautiful.
From nowhere, he said.
That's like the Robin Williams, What Dreams May Come, with the butterflies answering.
Yeah.
I have a story very similar to that. This
okay.
is just to confirm people. We're not playing one-upmanship, are we, Phyllis?
I hope we're not, because I think what we're doing is sharing and hoping that people are going to, who are listening in, are going to want to call and share their stories so we can validate with them that this goes on in our lives.
All the time. And
all
I'm on the
time.
West Coast. Aren't you on the East Coast?
Yes, I'm on the East Coast, yeah.
Yeah, and it's happening. This one thing I noticed when we got on the Internet and I started sharing miracle stories that the same thing was happening to the same people all over the world. And
well,
the confirmation to your story was somebody was sitting at a funeral of their grandmother,
mm-hmm.
and a white feather fell down between the two grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And another one where two doves came into the church
mm-hmm.
during the service, two white doves.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, my mother just loved roses, and I had a rose garden at our house in the country, and the year she died, the year before she died, we had a hummingbird build a nest in our yard in one of our trees, and a Baltimore Oriole, which is unusual that they would be that close to our house.
And you don't know this probably, but in Native American folklore,
uh-huh.
the hummingbird is the bird of communication, and that's what you're doing now. So it was probably a sign for you.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Because I've always had a special love for hummingbirds.
Interesting.
But, these are wonderful stories, and it didn't even dawn on me we're doing a one-upmanship, but I don't think so.
No, we're not.
Well,
having too much fun.
It's wonderful to talk to somebody who is so positive in her outlook on life, because there's so much that happens in our life that can wear us down and can bring, pretty much... Well, just bring us down, I guess is a good way to say it.
Well, Phyllis, there is a reason
mm-hmm.
that when you're watching the 6 o'clock news, they hold the kitten was saved story to the last 30 seconds, because they know
right.
you're going to sit there through all of the death and destruction.
Listen. Yes.
to catch that kitty story.
Oh, yes.
And that's
yes.
what I try to do with the newsletter. I send them out, oh, hey, if it rains in Oregon, there's maybe
right.
two a week.
yes.
there's no schedule. And if it's a sunny day, there might be one every 2 weeks, you know.
Well, you know, it's okay, because it comes from your heart, and when you're ready, you're ready.
And people seem to understand that. When I started the newsletters, I would get so excited with the miracles that were happening. I just bang them up and send them out. And one day, a lady emailed me, and then several months later she emailed me again, but her screen name haunted me. It was three initials and then PROF.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, she can't be a professor,
mm-hmm.
or she probably would have been circling things in red, sending them mm-hmm. back. And so I emailed her and I said, you've got an intriguing screen name. What does it mean? Said, oh, I'm a professor at university. I went, oh my gosh, because
wow.
I'm dyslexic. I never could spell. I'm Canadian and some words are spelled different. And she'd never said anything about that. She'd always commented on the beautiful stories. And then I said, well, what do you teach? And she sent another email back. Said, well, I teach English 101. And I thought, now I better take the people had offered to proofread my newsletters. So I thought I'd better take them up on that. But she said, Marianne, what I love about your newsletters is the content. You can tell it comes from the heart.
Oh,
it inspires me. She says it uplifts me. She says she's got MS. Her parents had Alzheimer's. She said, I know, and I also wait for your newsletters, because when I read them, it's like it lets me know things are okay in the world, that there's kindness out there, there's goodness out there, that people are holding a belief.
Every day there is. I remember, and speaking of kindness, I had a healthcare staffing firm where I placed doctors and nurses and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got sick one time, I had pneumonia. Do you know, my staff stopped by with medication. And they stop by and either medicate me, they check my blood pressure,
aww.
They give me injections, they
loving.
Come and cook. You know, that was a miracle of a kindness of people on people. And that to me is the other thing that we want to establish with our show, is that the things that we have, like the miracles, the visions, all of these are a part of who we really are. It's every one of us that has this in our lives. If we would open our hearts and our minds to accept what's around us and to tune in to the God within, or to the goodness that lies within each and every one of us. And that's what this show is about. Just
wonderful.
Like yours is to help people feel better and to know their miracles, that's kind of what this show is also, and to let everybody know this can be an everyday part of their life if they would just allow it to be.
And this is kind of show that people will want to tune into, because you can tune into other ones where people are argumentative and have angry voices, and that just pulls you down and puts you into depression.
Absolutely.
It, like Dr. Phil says, you know, fake it till you make it. You know,
we won't go there.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you are feeling depressed,
yes,
just pretend you're happy. Listen to the happy things. Read inspirational books.
Oh, yeah.
And pretty soon you'll start to resonate with that energy. I often meet people and they're so depressed and negative and angry. And
sure.
They're going, where's my soulmate? And I'm going, man, you wouldn't want that person.
No, no.
If they resonate to where you are right now.
Well, the thing is, too, I think, well, when I was taught when I was little, is that if you feel bad, smile, it catches on.
Yes.
And smiling does. I mean, we are really responsible for our own moods.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just express that. When I'm not feeling good, I talk to my dogs and they look at me.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they give me a look like, here she goes again. Sort of like children. Mom's talking, oh dear.
Hey, maybe they're wiser than we think. Hey, I wanted to tell you about a Christmas morning miracle.
Yes.
Along these lines.
Go ahead.
It comes from depression, but it shows you how you can change things around.
Sure.
I lived on Vancouver Island, and my mother's husband had just been diagnosed with a terminal illness, so Christmas wasn't going to be what it usually is. And so at that time, I had two shaded silver Persians also.
Mm-hmm.
I loaded them up into the car, and we drove the hour to the ferry, and the hour and a half in the dark, rainy evening into the ferry terminal. Raining torrents of rain when we got to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drove the last 10 miles to my mom's home. And when I got there, the Christmas lights were on the outside, but I just knew it wasn't going to be the same kind of Christmas as we'd had.
Of course.
So sad on his passing. And all his medications were lined up like soldiers against the war of his illness when I stepped inside the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to bed early Christmas Eve thinking, you know, the Christmas spirit had been lost with his diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning I woke up and they're all asleep. And I decided, well, I'm going to call my girlfriend just to cheer me up because mm-hmm. I can't take what's happening where I'm at. And I knew she'd be up around 7:30 because she had two small kids. So I dialed her familiar number. You know, your girlfriend's number is memorized by your finger, not your brain.
There you go.
But anyway, so I dialed her number and it rang. And when she answered, I heard, hello. And I thought, what now? I can't take anymore. I said, are you okay? And a stranger said, I had woken a total stranger up on Christmas morning. He said, I'm fine, but who are you? So anyways, I talked to her for 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It turns out she was 80 years old. Her husband had passed. She had no reason to get up Christmas morning.
Oh.
I felt so bad. At least I was with my mother, and we still had Jim, you know.
You do realize you did not misdial.
Oh, well,
yeah,
and it was a local calling number. How could I dial? And none of the numbers were similar, so it's not like I got one number out.
As I said, your angels had you dial that
because
not a misdial.
Totally. I invited her to dinner.
Oh, how beautiful.
So she took three different buses on Christmas Day across Vancouver and Burnaby and came up into North Vancouver, and I had to drive down in the snow and pick her up and took her home to Christmas mm-hmm. dinner. And as she was leaving, I mean, it was such a loving phone call anyway. It'd be a great miracle story. But as she was leaving, my mother, who's very prim and proper, said, pardon me, I didn't get your last name. And Grace says, it's Holden. And I went, oh, my gosh. Okay, now my mother didn't get it. My mother goes, no, that's my last name. I asked you what your last name was. We had the same last name as this woman. Isn't that incredible? So every morning when you wake up, you can be a divine vehicle by just dialing a phone.
Well, I notice also if you just smile at people when you go by, you know, just say, isn't that a beautiful sweater? You don't know what a kindness that does to people and how they can just perk up.
I do that all the time.
So do I.
I'm so glad you do. There's even a story in Expect Miracles about that happening. There was this. My mother, when we go shopping, always gets herself lost, you know.
That direction is not there, huh?
I know. Here I am, like 47 years old at the time, and my mother goes up the escalator, and I'm with her, and she goes to the right, and I see something right at the escalator, and that's the last I see her for 20 minutes. And the rule in our family is when you get lost, you go back to the last place you saw the person.
Mm-hmm,
otherwise,
mm-hmm.
you walk in circles. So I'm standing at the top of the escalator, and this very dainty, fragile woman who looked to be in her 90s walked by, and she was dressed so beautifully. She had on a little print dress. She had little white gloves. She was holding her white purse, her white shoes. She looked so cute.
Uh-huh.
But I started to think, you know, Phyllis, when you get to be that old, who notices you? Who notices you? Who touches your shoulder? Who gives you
right.
a hug?
There you go.
And I looked at her, and I thought, you know, with all of her years and the death of her loved ones, you know, how happy could she be? And she had that faraway look. She was looking down at the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, just like you would be, that's such a pretty dress. And I meant it. Anyways, and she walked by me. She didn't acknowledge me. So I thought, well, she must be deaf. And then she started proceeding down the escalator. And all of a sudden, she turned around like she'd come to, and she'd go, and she turns around and looks at me like, did you really mean that? And she goes, thank you. That made my day. Well, that was so easy, Phyllis.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And
all of us can put that. I think it's very manipulative. I love to do it.
Well, I don't think it is when it comes from the heart.
Oh, I know.
My feeling is that we are inspired to say these things.
Yes.
But, you know, there are times when somebody has walked up to me and said, I love your hat. And, boy, that just makes me feel like $1 million.
It means you stand out in the world. You're not invisible.
Yes.
And that's what I try to do when I joke and say I'm manipulative. I want people to feel number one. And it's like every man I meet's handsome. Every woman's gorgeous.
All children are beautiful.
Yes. And if you start addressing people as handsome and beautiful, it picks us up.
It does.
You know, hey, we're on the radio. We are so gorgeous. And the people listening are even prettier.
I think so. I do hope that those who are listening will take the time to just call in and share a story with us. I would love to do this. I would love to talk to you and have you share, because this is a Christmas. This is a miracle season. This is the one where we share stories of our homes, especially of any Christmas miracles that are out there, whether it's just getting home when you didn't think you could, when it's a healing, but whatever it is, I'd love to hear it, and I'd love you to share it, because this kind of thing reaches out to other people and encourages them. You know, this show goes on around the world through the Internet. And even if you can't speak English that well, it's okay by me. We'll figure it out. We hope to have you share with us, because that's how we get along in this world. I do want to reiterate that Dear Mary Ellen's number, or her website, is www.angelscribe, that's one word, A-N-G-E-L, scribe, S-C-R-I-B-E.com. And it is a wonderful, wonderful letter. She's a very charming woman. She works with Atira, who, by the way, is going to be on next Thursday.
Oh, you love her.
Atira is just a doll baby. I did meet her at Virginia Beach at the ARE.
You have to ask her about her new kitty, Mr. Perfect, too.
You better believe that's going to be first on a hit parade about her new Christmas gift. And anyway, she's a lovely psychic, and we'll have, I guess, many readings on the radio if we can next week. But anybody who is interested, you know, please call. I know Mary Ellen is always anxious to expand and hear more stories and put them into her magazine, because she does put them out over the Internet. She shares your stories. And by sharing, we reach out and create a stronger bond, one with each other. We also, when we do this, create a greater, higher vibration, which brings us more in tune with the God within. And we're hoping that this is something that you will touch with us, and that you will go ahead in your day and just reach out if you haven't before, just in a kind word, although I'm supposedly, most people who listen to us do this. I'm going to assume they do, that they do reach out to other people, that they do know what they are doing and they have an awareness.
Well, Phyllis, not only are your listeners beautiful, they're highly intelligent, and they're very kind.
I'm thinking this.
And you're psychic, so you know all that.
And it's also like a dance, you know, when your minds meet, your energies meet, because then we fortify and strengthen everything, and we create a more beautiful world, and we lift people up. When we lift each other up, we lift others up. And it's a never-ending energy cycle that goes out and out and never ends. It's unlimited. But
you know,
anyway,
it's like dropping a pebble into a pond
of love. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. At any rate, do you want to give them any other contact info for you, Mary Ellen, before we go and talk about some more stories?
Well, just the website, angelscribe.com. They can send their miracles to me, Mary Ellen, at angelscribe.com. So that's easy to remember.
Okay.
And they'll love the book, Expect Miracles. It's an anytime gift all year long. And A Christmas Filled with Miracles is a teaching book. It teaches what it feels like to have a miracle happen. It teaches what it feels like when you create a miracle for somebody else.
And
one of the nicest stories I actually just wrote in the newsletter about the Christmas Society.
Okay.
And there was a gentleman who was expecting the second child. He just lost his job. Things were not looking very good. It was 2 weeks before Christmas. They weren't going to exchange gifts or be involved in Christmas at all. And one night the doorbell goes, and he goes over and he answers it, and it's a man with an envelope. And he says, "I want you to have this." And Larry said, "Oh, no, I can't take anything. We're not giving or doing anything for Christmas." And I said, "No, you don't understand. This is from the Christmas Society." He said, "Many years ago, when things were difficult like they are for you now, somebody came with a similar gift to me and told me when things changed around and my money situation was different, that I must carry on with the Christmas Society."
That's nice.
"And gift somebody else in need." And he said, "You're doing me a favor because it's my turn to pass this on to you."
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so Larry took the money and, you know, he needed it.
Well,
and he has since been a blessing to other people.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But it was a miracle that for him. He needed it right then.
Now, is that Christmas Society a real entity, or is it just...
I have no idea.
Okay.
You know, it almost could have been... I was thinking about that. Where did it start? It's like the chicken and the egg. And, you know, I think it started with Santa Claus, when somebody was just kind to somebody else. It's like if you know your neighbor needs something, but they're not going to take it from you, go ahead and make a great story of. One year, what I did was I know there's a lady in town that could use a few extra things, and I thought, what should I give her? And then I thought, you know what? I have no clue what she needs. I have no clue what her needs are. So I went to a local large store and got a gift certificate and gave that to her because I didn't know if she needed to buy something small and take the rest of the money and put on her electrical bill.
Right.
Oh, I've done that too. Oh my gosh, that is so fun. You can go to the place where people pay for their water and you can use their street address and you can actually put money down on their water bill. Well, can you imagine them getting their next bill and it's lower?
Wow. Well, you know, we have that with our utility. Now, our utilities, at least in this area, in the Washington, D.C. area, are really good at that. They do have on their monthly bills that you can round off your payment of your bill to the next highest dollar or $2, and that then that will go to pay those who cannot afford to pay for their own bills.
That's wonderful.
So that is something that our local communities are doing. I know they do it for the gas company, and they do it for the water company now.
Wonderful.
And I think you can do that.
But we're
and
in a
they
little
have that
tiny
in the grocery
town.
Stores. Do you have it in the grocery stores where you are?
No, and we're in a little tiny town. And
oh.
So whenever I go in to do it, the one lady at the utility company is so excited to see me for this particular family.
Mm-hmm.
And I apparently am the only one going in and doing it. But did you know the people listening, too, can take food to the local humane societies, too?
Exactly.
This time of year.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
I want to share one of my very favorite miracles from A Christmas Filled with Miracles because it's not, I mean, just getting your bill paid like that can be a miracle.
Absolutely.
But imagine that you're 5 years old and you're going to grandma and grandpa's for Christmas and you're very, very poor.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was there was some Marines who had just finished a course and they were driving back to, I think it was North Carolina. It doesn't matter where they're from. But they were driving back to their home state for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled into a fast food restaurant. And as they were going to collect their order, they heard the loudspeaker behind them, from the car behind them. And the woman says, two hamburgers. And this little tiny voice says, "It's our birthday. We want cheeseburgers."
Aww.
I guess the two front teeth were missing or something. And the mother said, you know, could hear pain in her voice. She says, "We can't afford cheeseburgers. All I can afford is hamburgers." And then she explained into the loudspeaker that they were headed to the grandma and grandpa's and they were low on money. Well, what happened is the Marines looked at each other and they had only just gotten put together for that one training class. They didn't really know each other, but each of them pulled $10 out of their wallet and gave it to the clerk. at the drive-through and said, pay for the hamburgers. There's enough here for the mother to order something and a few extra to help them with gasoline. And drove on, never expecting anything to happen. Well, when they pulled over for gasoline, about an hour later, a car pulled up behind them, and a woman got out with two little kids, and she said, are you the Marines who paid for our food? And they looked at her. They didn't want any acknowledgement, really, but they said yes. Said, thank you so much. That means so much to me because we are really having a difficult time. And one of the little boys went up to a Marine and hugged his leg, and he said, when I grew up, I want to be a Marine. And you never know how you're impacting a life.
Isn't that great? Oh, that is so beautiful.
It comes from the heart.
I've got tears in my eyes on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It's just a miracle.
So many wonderful stories on this. Mm-hmm. Tell me some others. I mean, just grab them out of the air. They're just lovely.
Most radio stations say, tell us your favorite one. Are you going, okay, is this a 24-hour show?
I told you, we have an hour in which to share joy and light and happiness. And as I said, maybe we'll get people who will call in. So people, you can start calling in anytime now.
Well, don't worry if they don't, because what I find is most people enjoy the stories, and they're just sitting there wrapping their gifts, and they're just saying, tell us another one. One story I want to share about is Betty Tisdale. She has an organization that she's been helping the orphans since Vietnam, and I can't tell you how old she is, but let me say she's probably 80.
Okay.
She still travels the world, and she collects money and goods. And she says she's the best beggar around. She gets vitamins for them. She gets clothes for them. She gets milk for them. UPS or Federal Express help her fly these foods into the orphanages. And every single penny goes towards the children. She'll sleep on the floor of a hut to save $40 because she goes, that $40 would buy milk for a year for a child.
Right.
Anyways, and her website, BettyTisdale.com. And I saw her on TV in Seattle at Christmas time, and I needed like two more Miracle Truth stories to finish off a Christmas filled with miracles. And so I just phoned her up to do the miracle. And what was weird was, as I was waiting for her phone to ring, the Christmas music in the background on the radio started to play, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And that's exactly the story she ended up telling me. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, how wonderful.
It was Vietnam. It was Christmas. It was hot. It was sweltering.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it? 121st Signal Battalion, 1st Infantry Division, decided to adopt her orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is they wrote back to the States and they asked their families to send gifts, you know, age-appropriate, wrapped, because you don't get too much wrapping paper in Vietnam.
No,
and on Christmas Day, all of these children were going to receive gifts. And so coming along the road to the orphanage were all these Jeeps with gifts colorfully piled high.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the, they had 400 children at this orphanage.
Wow.
And all the military staff, didn't matter what age or what rank, sat on the front porch. And they had a big stack of gifts behind them. And as each child came up to receive their gift, they say, come on, which is thank you, and they bow to them and receive their gift.
Mm-hmm.
But then they heard helicopters overhead. Usually, that wasn't a good sign.
Right.
And so they all looked up in horror, but this time, leaning out of the helicopter in this sweltering heat was Santa in his full regalia. He had his boots, he had his beard, he had a red outfit, he had a big tummy, and he was waving to the kids. And it landed in a field nearby, and he came over. And as he came over, so hard to say, unbeknownst to Betty Tisdale, on the roof of the orphanage had gathered the military personnel with guns ready to protect the children from snipers. And four of the Army people had brought their instruments and started to play Jingle Bells.
Oh, how nice!
And then it's a song the children knew, so they all started to sing Jingle Bells as Santa walked over.
Oh, beautiful.
Betty didn't go back to Vietnam because of the war for years later.
Right.
And then she ended up connecting. Each child tells another child, but now, you know, they're older. She rescued 219 from the orphanage as Vietnam fell.
Uh-huh.
And then when she went back, and several of them gathered who were still in Vietnam together, and when she walked in the room, they sang Jingle Bells to her.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful story.
And it's all about love. You know, she was a secretary who worked in New York and would take her Christmas vacation and fly to Vietnam and help Dr. Tom Dooley with the children over there.
When was this? Back in the 70s, 60s?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the military are still doing their wonderful gift, like the Marines with the Toys for Tots.
Yeah.
My daughter started that in her school, the collection for toys, and when she left that school, they continued on the tradition of collecting toys each year to give to the Marine Toys for Tots. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, since it's Christmas time, you know, the hospices, the local hospices are usually nonprofit organizations. There are so many people who are ill or shut in that, you know, reaching out to people like that through your local hospice is a wonderful gift in itself, that you can come and talk to people.
There's no gift greater than time, is there?
There isn't. And a lot of these people are alone in the world. A lot of them are ill. And just having, and many of these, well, those who are in hospice care, quite frankly, are dying for the most part. Most of them do die. Some recover. There's a miracle in there also. But most of them are really terminally ill. And, you know, giving of yourself and doing volunteer work, it's another way of bringing a miracle about in your life.
You know,
because some of these people are the most gifted, charming people, and they leave you with the most wonderful feeling. And I would encourage our readers to reach out to their community groups, like hospice, or like a local organization, like a VA hospital. And at this time of year with our troops, how about visiting a military hospital if you have one near there, or sending a Christmas card, like through Dear Abby or through the military service. I think that's a wonderful outreach program.
You know, my friend Dick Kazan said something very interesting. Can you imagine being 80 or 90 years old? Maybe you were married, maybe you're not, but your spouse has passed on. Maybe you had children, maybe you didn't, but they have passed on, and your friends have passed on, and you're in a nursing home, and nobody comes to visit you.
Yeah.
He says that he goes into nursing homes once a week just to visit people, and he chats up a storm and makes them feel important and visible in the world. There is no greater gift. You couldn't buy them anything greater than sitting there and laughing with them.
I know. I've done that, too, at the nursing home, a local Catholic nursing home, and I've taken my English bulldog, and people just love to see pets.
Oh, I've taken my cats in, and they're
Have you?
Could you imagine loving animals and never seeing them again once you get to a nursing home?
I know. It's so sad.
I brought in one of my cats once, and somebody was sitting right at the front door. She was the official greeter, and she was in her wheelchair, and she had a tray in front of her wheelchair, and I put my cat down there, very tame, loving Persian, and she goes, "I'm the lucky one today."
Oh.
You know, it was so easy to change a life and brighten a heart.
Yeah, I know.
I understand why. I'm sure your listeners do it because they're bright, beautiful, intelligent, kind.
Yes.
I don't understand why more people
keep
don't
praising
do
them.
It just lifts you up when you do that kind of thing.
I know. It doesn't take much, does it? But at this time of year, when it's so important, and so many people are alone, you just don't know whose heart you touch, you know?
Well,
and you really don't understand, I think, the importance when someone recognizes you as a human being and just expresses that kindness, whether it's just through a smile, a kind word, a courtesy like letting a lady go through the door first.
Right.
Anything like that. It's just, you know, it's part of our lives. Well, I'm trying to think of what other miracles there are. There have been a few miracles. Do you have any more where there were angels? Can you think of any where you know it was an angel story?
Oh, gosh, how many minutes do we have left?
Oh, we have time. Yeah, Donald whistle at us when we're late.
Hey, Donald.
We need to say goodbye. He'll let us know.
He's so handsome. Have you seen him lately?
No, but I talk to him all the time.
Hey, well, I want to tell you one about my neighbor. What ended up happening to her is her 19-year-old daughter had sent her a Christmas gift, and she was just so tickled for her grandma to open it. She called her and said, "Open it, open it." And it was this beautiful music box, and it had the long cord, and you've got to take it and twirl the switch to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the wire. What do you call that? I'm electrically challenged. Anyway.
Well, you plug it in and it works.
Yeah, that thing. And so what happened is, then on Valentine's Day, which is, you know, like, what, 2 months after Christmas, my friend Francis's husband unexpectedly dies.
Mm.
And so she moved from California to Washington. She packed everything up, and she packed up the music box, and she moved next door to me. And then it was Christmas, and she was so lonely. She was consumed with loneliness. And she went to bed just wondering how her husband was doing in heaven. Of course, she knows he's okay, but, you know, when you're in grief, you just question.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And so that night, as she's lying in bed, the music box turns on all by itself.
Oh, my.
And the only way is you have to reach down the wire halfway to the switch to flick it on.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And it was so funny because one day she came over to her house, and there was a newspaper man in my kitchen. And he said, look at this, look at this. There's an angel. I'd spilled tea on the stove, and it turned into a perfect angel with wings, halo, holding a book, pointing to a book, and I was writing Expect Miracles at the time. And he goes, what do you think of this? And Frances looks at him, plain face, doesn't exchange change her expression at all. And she goes, oh, miracles happen to Mary Ellen all the time. And he's like, you couldn't get her excited. Well, they happened to Frances, too. So she just understood. Miracles happen all the time. And that's what your listeners need to understand. Hold in your heart that you can be the miracle for somebody in a soft, gentle way.
Oh, absolutely. The wonderful thing about miracles is they are so unexpected. And
my definition is they bring joy to other people.
Yeah. Yes.
They bring an answer to somebody. It's like my daughter and I were going to take some food to a homeless shelter, and I thought, well, I'm going to take some oatmeal because it lasts in the tummy a long time, and
right.
when you're homeless, being hungry has got to be the worst thing.
Yeah,
and so we went to buy it, and we get to the food store, and, you know, I told them what we were going to do, and they were going to give us a discount, too, which was really cool and support us. And my daughter whispers in my ear, Mommy, take the bread. I said, no, honey. And I went through the explanation of oatmeal being poor
right.
and being hungry. She says, no, Mommy, the angels are telling me to take them bread. So who am I going to argue with angels?
Gotcha.
We bought a bunch of bread. We went to the homeless shelter. We walked in, and there in the cupboard, look, these jars were probably a foot and a half high,
yeah.
peanut butter jars,
wow.
two of them brought in just ahead of us and placed on the counter. And you know, Phyllis, peanut
yes.
butter goes better on
bread than it does on oatmeal.
Bet.
Oh, wow. So your daughter talks to angels, huh?
Yes, she's seen them. She's trying to be normal now.
Oh, okay.
But she's going to college, and she's sort of ignoring her gift, but every day time she'll call me up in the middle of the day, she goes, Mommy, the angels say you need to take a nap. I had cancer several years ago, and she took the word trust, and she put it on the overhead fan. She says, Mommy, quit getting hysterical. You're going to be fine. You're going to get through with this.
Right.
And the word trust was in around on the overhead fan. She says, you're going to be around a long time to bother me and even bug my kids, too.
Oh, well, that's good. I think that's wonderful. My youngest two had, all three of my children had worked with angels and with dreams and so forth because I wanted them to. And
okay.
my youngest one, I think, was, because she was so far beyond the past the first two. The first two were in their mid to late teens when I had her. So she and I were pretty much together because they were out in college when she was about 2 or 3 years old. They went off to college. People, you have been listening to Higher Dimensions with Phyllis Pricer. You can reach me on my email at cpr433-9313 at AOL. I hope to hear from you. I'm accepting of your email. I am a psychic. I do readings. I'm a hypnotherapist. I do hypnotherapy over the phone. I do healings. And we hope you will come again and listen to us next week. Mary Ellen, you've been an absolute joy to have. Please buy her book, Give a Joyous Miracle to a Friend at Christmas. Tune in and do go and read her, subscribe to her email, or rather her her newsletter that's on the website at www.angelscribe.com. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas or a Happy Hanukkah or whatever other holiday it is. And may your light be blessed with miracles and may your day be long. Thank you, Mary Ellen.
Thank you, and happy holidays to
you. Happy holidays to you all. Bye.